Welcome to Health Cetera's podcast. Gender exploration is a normal and expected stage of personal development. Transgender people identify with a gender or identity that differs from their biological, birth-assigned sex. With well over 1 million Americans identifying as transgender, a once obscure community is gaining visibility in both personal spaces and legislative ones. Several states have either passed laws or are considering legislation that restricts access to certain types of healthcare for people who identify as transgender. On this Health Cetera podcast, Barbara Glickstein interviews the mother of a child who identifies as trans about what such laws and legislation can mean for a family. This interview first aired on Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio on March 12, 2021.
This is Barbara Glickstein, and this is Health Cetera in the Catskills. I'm a public health nurse, and I know trans children and trans adults. Some of my relationships are more than 10 years old. They're nurses, they're the children of a rabbi I know, they are lawyers, and they are professional people in the world. Some transitioned as children, some transitioned as late as 50 years old. So I'm fortunate, and I want the rest of the world to both get to know more people who are trans and to know the people who have raised them up, their friends, their family, and the communities that are supporting them, which is what today's segment is about. The lack of awareness about the potential harm that some laws that are being passed really could hurt transgender children and people. The ACLU reports that 28 states are voting on anti-trans legislation in 2021. As of April 12th, there are 102 proposed bills around the country targeting transgender people and youth. That includes 35 healthcare bans in 22 states, 56 sports bans in 33 states, and a handful of so-called, quote, bathroom bills, end quote, and bills that push back against the Supreme Court's decision, Bostick, that ruled the use of religious freedom as a loophole to allow anti-LGBT discrimination. A lot of Americans, as I said, are getting to know trans people, and they're learning about these issues for the first time. If you're listening and you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a neighbor, help us move this community forward of those who know and love trans children and adults. The retired NBA basketball player Dwayne Wade, who has a trans daughter, said, quote, "Our kids are more than bedrooms, bathrooms, and locker rooms." Gender exploration is a very normal part of development. Transgender individuals who temporarily or permanently identify with a gender that's different from their biological gender is what we're going to talk about today. My guest, Elizabeth, is the parent of a transgender daughter. Per her request, she will be identified for this segment by the first name Elizabeth, and her daughter as Allie, and her son as Jacob. They are New York State residents. Elizabeth writes about this experience, she speaks about this experience, and knows that every parent's experience of raising their transgender child is unique. That uniqueness is true about every parent raising every child. Welcome, and good to be here with you, Elizabeth.
It's wonderful to be here with you, Barbara. Thanks for having me.
So Allie is 12 years old, and she has a twin brother, and she lives with both you and her dad. How would you describe Allie? What's Allie like? What is she like to do?
Allie is fun and funny and outgoing and smart and nice. She loves gymnastics. She loves TikTok. I don't love TikTok as much as she loves TikTok. She loves her friends. She likes and loves many of the things that you would expect most 12-year-old girls would like and love. That said, she does not like or love the fact that she is transgender, Barbara. She really just wants to be, quote unquote, a girl, not a transgender girl, which is how I view her, as a girl. But society, of course, views her as a transgender girl.
So how When did Allie know she was a girl? Will you share that journey with us?
Sure. And it's funny because I suspected by around the age of 2 that then Adam could potentially be transgender by some mannerisms, by things Adam said. But Allie didn't realize it until she, and I still get confused sometimes with pronouns, until she was about 8 years old. She had passed by a store, then Adam, now Allie, that had a sign in it that said, "Protect trans youth." And at this point, Adam had never heard the word trans and asked me what it meant. And I explained what it meant. And over the course of the next few days, then Adam started asking questions and then realized a few days later that indeed he was a she and was transgender.
I'm going to suggest that the type of home you were raising both Allie and Jacob in allowed them to question a lot of things about life and about society and about themselves. Is that what your experience talking to other families that have raised a trans child been able to do? Or would you say it's a unique family situation?
I would hope that it's not a unique family situation, but I know from many of the groups that I'm involved with online, in person, some of them secret by nature and anonymous because many transgender people and families with transgender family members don't talk about it publicly because they're fearful. So I know that our home was welcoming and my kids were always encouraged to question and to ask. And I think one of the reasons that Allie might not have known that she was transgender until she was 8 was because we never said it was weird for Adam to run around in a tutu or for Adam to like pink and purple or for Adam to like princesses more than his twin brother Jacob liked dinosaurs and cars. So had we raised our now daughter in a home that was more stigma by the book, boys like blue, girls like pink, maybe Adam, now Allie's experience would have been different. But we didn't put our kids in boxes from the get-go. And I know that to be very different from other places, Barbara. And I know that many kids, transgender youth specifically, as opposed to adults, don't feel comfortable expressing that they might be non-binary or that they might be trans or that their outsides don't match their insides because they are living in an environment where it's not even safe for them to discuss that in their home. There's a phrase, acceptance is protection, that I learned in one of the groups that I'm involved with. And really, if you accept your child, if society accepts your child, that is a form of protection. And so a lot of the statistics we hear, you know, you rattled off some in the beginning about trans kids being hurt or trans kids having feelings of low self-worth. A lot of those numbers and statistics can be turned around if we as parents or if we as society accept our kids and let them know that they are okay, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense, and it reminds me that in much advocacy work around identity, whether it's LGBTQ, trans, and other identity of non-binary and gender fluidity, that when families, extended families, and communities create a safe environment for self-expression, we raise more self-assured, confident, healthy people. And this is not new to the 20th century, right? Why don't you talk about some of the knowledge that you've gained both from seeking out more guidance as a parent, as well as knowing that for centuries there have been people in this space living sometimes freely in cultures that have allowed this self-expression and others that didn't. And one example I can share personally is a very dear friend's brother lived as a gendered male his entire life until both his parents died and then transitioned to the person he always knew he was, which was a woman. This was quite shocking and alarming on many levels. He was married and had children, But until his parents died, he didn't feel free to be who he was. And it's resolved with support and therapy for the family that now she lives as the parent she is, gendered as a woman. So we know that throughout life, people choose to live the identity, the gender identity. Not all of them, though. Some of them live very, very sheltered and hurtful lives and mentally and emotionally difficult lives because of it.
So what I would say is that choosing to express the identity that you know you are is certainly a choice, but being transgender is not a choice. And I know from speaking with you that you would agree with that. No one, I don't believe anyone wakes up in the morning and says, I want to be trans. My daughter is very specific. Allie says, I wish I wasn't trans. And she is. But choosing to be as brave as she is and to go out in the world as Allie, that's a choice. Choosing to be transgender is not. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes. And I hope that our listeners hear that in clarity. State again how Allie is not choosing to be a trans child. She is a girl, and that is how she describes and experiences herself.
Absolutely. I mean, she is all girl, Barbara, and there's no part of her, and I would say other than her biological parts of her biological anatomy, that would lead anyone to believe that she's anything but a girl. And as I say to her, because I will be blunt, she does not like her penis. And I explained to her, you can be a girl with a penis. Not all transgender girls will choose to have bottom surgery, and having a penis doesn't make you any less of a girl than having a vagina. But she can't wait to have sexual reassignment surgery, which doesn't happen until you're 16, 18 down the road, and there's a lot of therapy involved in that. Not everybody can walk into a doctor and say, this is what I want. But she identifies as a girl, and she absolutely does not want to be known as a transgender girl. She just wants to be one of the girls. But for her,
she's Allie.
She is Allie. And being again, not to beat a dead horse, being transgender is not a choice. This is who she is. This is who she was. She was born to be a girl. But she has the support that she is able at this age to express herself as a girl. And sadly, I have spoken with people and read so many stories. And again, I'm in lots of support groups where people do not feel safe to express who they are authentically. So when you tell me about the person that you knew who didn't feel comfortable expressing themselves until their parents were deceased, to me, that's sad. Mm. Wonderful that they can live as their authentic self right now. But it is not easy to be trans. It is not. I would not wish it on anyone. And yet I see that my daughter, Allie, is so much happier than Adam was. She's a happier person. Yes, there are more challenges that she now has to face on a day-to-day basis. And as we look towards the future, and I think she will face these challenges more effectively than Adam ever could have, because she's her authentic self. And when you know who you are, and I mean, like, what, she knows who she is at 8 years old. I didn't know who I was at 8 years old. So to me, that's pretty amazing.
Let's talk a moment briefly about the legislation that is so anti-trans and not supporting what we know the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, the National Association of Nurse Practitioners, and a lot of other leading authorities. They believe that simply delaying puberty until young people are old enough, as you mentioned, 16 to 18 with therapy and other advisory to make the decision about who they are. We know Allie knows who she is. And so both the trans person, the youth, the parents, and the healthcare providers, they believe that these decisions are best in the interest of the patient or the trans child. Yet these laws are being passed. Misinformation. People are assuming they mean surgery to change the anatomy, remove a penis, create a penis in trans children from female to male. So just talk about what that you live in a state that has not legislated that law, but what do you know from the groups you're part of, that how these laws in the states that have already passed, their feelings, their panics, their concerns, what will happen?
Barbara, it can be absolutely devastating. I mean, I have friends in Florida. I have friends in the Midwest, places where some of these bills and laws have been passed. And speaking to the parents, it's devastating. All you want for all any parent wants, I think, is for, well, I know that I want both of my kids to be happy, healthy, and kind. And when laws are passed that can threaten your happiness and your health, your mental health, your physical health, that's scary. If a person can't use the bathroom that they of their matching identity, it can be unsafe. There is no way that my daughter Allie should be going into a men's room. That would be physically unsafe for her. She's a girl. She should be in the girls' room. I'm thankful that we have not had to deal with that with her in New York State, but it can be devastating. I mean, it's like putting your child physically at risk. I mean, every day I think trans kids and adults can be emotionally at risk because, I mean, everybody can be emotionally at risk because there's bullying even in states where the laws are quote unquote kind to trans and non-binary folks. Not everybody views my daughter as a girl in society. I mean, everyone who meets her knows she's a girl, but not all of society will look at her that way. I'll use this as an example. When we look for sleepaway camps for my daughter, we have to ask questions that other parents don't ask. I mean, of course my daughter needs to be in a girl's bunk because she's a girl, but not all camps have dealt with trans youth. Not all camps will accept trans youth because they want to ask the other parents how they feel about it. And when my daughter goes to camp in the summer, she goes as Allie. She will tell her bunkmates, she tells her bunkmates if she wants to or if she doesn't want to. Some kids choose to change into their bathing suits in the open. Some choose not to. Some who choose not to are not trans. Some who choose to get changed, with a towel over them are cisgender and they're just modest. But I have to ask, will my child be safe? Does the camp accept trans youth? Will bullying be tolerated? Will other counselors treat my kid differently? Is she going to be made fun of? Do I have to worry about somebody finding out and beating her up and saying she's not normal and making, I mean, I don't have to think about that when I send my son to camp. I do when I send my daughter. And there are camps that absolutely fabulous camps that said, we're not prepared to do this. Or I think we'd probably have to tell everyone in the bunk. Well, we don't want it. We want that to be Allie's job if she so decides to tell people in the bunk. I mean, I when I was a camper, I didn't walk into a bunk and say, hi, I'm Elizabeth, I'm cisgender. So why should she have to go into a bunk and say, hi, I'm Allie, and I'm transgender? So our search for camps, our search for, you know, even sometimes places where we go on vacation, sometimes has to be a little bit different than others because we want to make sure that she's safe.
Absolutely. Like every parent wants to make sure that their children are safe. We chatted before the interview about Allie's love of being a gymnast and gymnastics. Will you share a story about Allie and her love for gymnastics so people can also have even more of a light into this child, this brilliantly fun-loving child?
So I think Allie can do a handstand for like a minute and a half. I am the most unflexible, can't do yoga, can barely do a somersault, and quit gymnastics like 3 days after I started as a kid. She has never met a piece of furniture that she doesn't want to bounce off of or flip off of, and she loves gymnastics. As Adam, she took gymnastics with the boys because gymnastics tends to be separated after a certain age, and he didn't love it. As a girl, she loves it. And yet there's this one part of it that is exceedingly frustrating for her. enter the leotard. A leotard does not cover a penis. I mean, it does, but there's a bulge. And when you watch the Olympics, when I watch the Olympics, when I watch the women's gymnastics team, you don't see a bulge in the leotard. Allie loves gymnastics. She likes to put on a leotard. She likes to look like everybody else, and she has to put shorts over. Now, does she have to? I would opine yes, because she doesn't want people to know that she's transgender. She's just a girl. B, she doesn't want people staring at her penis. And C, she happens to not compete. But how are other people? What if she was in a competition and people made fun of her or said that she shouldn't be competing because she is a boy, which she's not? I mean, obviously, there's lots of sports legislation going on around now, but it's not safe for her emotionally at this age and potentially physically to be wearing a leotard and for her penis to show. So as much as she loves gymnastics, there's that added stress when she goes every Wednesday and every Saturday to be with her friends at gymnastics and her coaches, because I don't even think her coaches know. Now, she happens to have told a couple of kids in her gymnastics class because they're her friends and it's her choice. And when she chooses to tell a friend, you know, oftentimes you tell friends things that are not necessarily secrets, they can be, but things that are important to you and special to you because you want to connect with that friend. And so she's told a couple of friends, but she, in her eyes, cannot wear the leotard that most of her gymnastics friends can wear. And so when I watch her, on the balance beam, or when I watch her doing a backhand spring on the tumble track, all I can see is, oh my God, my kid's having a blast. She's got a big smile on her face. Even when she quote unquote messes up, she's like, did you get that on video? Cause I'll put it in a failed TikTok. I see the smile, but part of me in the back of my head is saying, I hope that other people watching don't notice a penis, because if they do, could she be at risk emotionally and or physically? Again, we live in a neighborhood where trans youth tend to be more accepted than other places in the country, and yet we're still not waving the trans flag as a family because our daughter is quote unquote she's stealth, which means she tries to quote pass as a girl, which she does because she's a girl. But she doesn't tell everybody that she's trans. She only tells her close people. And we believe that she should choose who those people are, except at times when safety's in question. Like Barbara, we make sure that her teachers know if she's going to a friend's for a sleepover for the first time, it's important for my husband and I to make sure the parents of that child know. Because what if they see something different about our daughter when they're getting changed or something? And what if it's not a safe place for our daughter to be? That would be, I can't think of anything scarier to me.
So Elizabeth, in closing, as you have educated the community and sharing your family story and your daughter's story, what would you like to tell this audience and help them, maybe those who don't know a trans person, those who are both curious, confused, and not sure? What would you like to say in closing?
I guess I would say that really transgender people are just like you and me. It is one of the things that makes up their being. I'm an athlete. I'm a writer. I like to play tennis. I'm funny. I'm all of those things, and I'm cisgender. For transgender and or non-binary people, that's just one of the things that makes them them. I would also like to say, it's not a choice. It's no more of a choice for them than it's a choice for me that I'm a girl. I know I'm a girl. My daughter knows she's a girl. It's not a choice. Being willing and brave enough to accept and express yourself as the gender you are, if you're transgender, that's a choice. Being trans is not. And truly, some of the statistics can be daunting on self-harm and how many trans kids try to attempt suicide or have suicidal thoughts. But all of the studies suggest that if you accept a trans child, if you treat them with respect and accept them as the person they are, then they statistically have a much better chance of being happy and healthy and living a quote unquote regular normal life, whatever that is. So keep an open mind. This is, they're kids or they're adults. They're just people. It's one of the things that makes them them.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you for joining us and sharing the journey that you've had with Allie and Jacob and your spouse and the community that's been supportive as you support that community.
May I say one more thing?
Yes, of course.
It's not easy. Even in a community where my child is accepted, even in during times, even in a place where legislation so far bodes well for my daughter, it isn't easy on a day-to-day basis. And it is much easier than my daughter being faking to be a person that she isn't. She was never Adam. We just didn't know that until she told us.
This is Barbara Glickstein. You're listening to Health Setter and the Catskills.
You've been listening to a podcast of Health Cetera in the Catskills. For more podcasts and discussions of important health issues and policies affecting health, go to Health Cetera's website and blog at www.healthmediapolicy.com. That's www.healthmediapolicy.com. This podcast was produced by Diana Mason, Barbara Glickstein, and production assistant Kai Volsey.